Nothing that's going to happen to you on this earth is really worth fearing. I don't want to get run over by a truck, but if I do, so what? I don't want to get cancer and have to go through some of the treatments that my friend Randy's going through, but if I do, we as a group of believers live in fear more than we live in faith. We're going to start off with Psalms because I want us to, first of all, think about the Psalms in a little different light. How many of you have a favorite Psalm? You have a favorite Psalm? What's your favorite Psalm? 34? Psalm 34. Let's turn to Psalm 34 real quick. What's your favorite part about Psalm 34? Anything in particular? Verse 7 and then verse 19. The angel of the Lord is encamped around those who fear him, and he delivers them. You like that, huh? And then in verse 19 it says, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Amen. How has that verse helped you at some point in your life? Daily? Daily, you feel like you have the angel of the Lord surrounding you? Okay. Anybody else? Nobody else has a favorite psalm? Yes. Psalm 51. Let's turn to Psalm 51 real quick. Is there something about Psalm 51 that you like? Okay.
I like when it begins in verse 10 and goes down to about 13.
Okay, let's look at that real quick.
Created me a pure heart, O God. Your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
All right. Very good. Very good. Do what? Okay, yeah. If you want to do that, that's fine.
Psalm 91.
Psalm 91. What do you like about Psalm 91, Joel?
I love the whole thing, but when he says, for he shall give us angels charge over me to keep me in all of my ways.
Okay. Is that verse 11? Okay, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Is that verse?
Sure.
Verse 11, okay. All right, somebody else. Linda. 23rd Psalm. I did a series on the 23rd Psalm not too long ago. Yeah, she doesn't want that microphone in her face, evidently. What was it, Linda? And you're going to have to talk into the microphone because he's sitting next to you, okay? What was it that you liked about the 23rd Psalm?
I just like the message that it gives us, and I especially found it to be my favorite after you talked on the 23rd Psalm last year.
Okay.
And we went through it line by line, and it's
Yeah. The 23rd Psalm, and those of you, I think, Joel, do we have that up in a series on YouTube? The 23rd Psalm series? Okay, we have the 20. If you haven't heard the series, you want to go back and listen to that series. It's a great series, not because I taught it, but because of the fact that the material was so good. But the one thing that I will never forget learning in the 23rd Psalm was he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And in that, he says, basically, I'm at war, and we're all at war. And the word picture that he uses is that God is going to bring me in before his table. And when it says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, I think of the kind of table that God would prepare. Anything and everything that you could ever want. It reminds me of going to Asheville, North Carolina, to the Biltmore House. My mom and dad met us in Asheville, and we went there for dinner. And while we were at dinner, it was a big buffet. They have stables there that they've turned into a restaurant. And this is long tables going down both sides of the room, and then one in the middle with carving stations and stuff like that. And so when I think about he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy, I think about that kind of feast. And I'm on one end and God's on the other end. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He's basically shackled my enemies. He's put them in prison. So when you have that word picture that David was painting for us, he prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies are watching me as I'm having dinner with God. And the thing that I want you to get out of that is that every time I sit down with the buffet that God has given us through his word, every time I sit down with that and I commune with God, my enemies are at bay. Isn't that amazing? Jan, you were going to say something? Okay. There we go.
Called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm.
Uh-huh.
And in that, he continues the shepherd analogy with, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, by saying it was common in the early spring, before they would take their sheep to the upper pasture, for the shepherds to go up and remove all of the thorns and bristles and anything else that could hurt the sheep while they were eating. So those enemies were completely removed as the shepherd prepared the table.
Nice.
But my favorite psalm is the 8th.
I didn't ask you that.
Oh.
It's not your turn. Monty Betts was before you.
Oh, okay.
All right. No, let's... Psalms chapter 8. What do you like about Psalms chapter 8?
Well, the way it starts, O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. But down in verse 6, no, that's not 6, it's 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you've set in place, the heavens, creating the heavens and the stars and the planets, and this finger work for God.
Yeah.
He didn't even break a sweat.
So, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them, is the end of that. That's one of the things that I love about this earth. I'm really struggling because I got a bad knee, I got bad shoulders, I got a bad back. I can't do half of the things that I want to do. In my mind, I'm still able to conquer so much, but every day I get up, I realize my body is not willing to cooperate. But one of the things I love to do is I love being out in nature. I love hiking in the woods. Bryce Briggs was telling me that he wants to go camping, and I have some camping gear I'm going to give to him. He wants to go camping, backpacking out in the woods. And as he was talking about it, I thought to myself, maybe I could do that. There's no way I could do that. I couldn't hang on for that long. But when I would hike, and those of you who've been in places where you don't have city lights and all that, and you look up into the skies and you see all the stars that you don't normally see when you're here in Tampa or in places with lots of lights, you go, whoa. I remember going several places in my travels. One was Crater Lake. Nancy and Linda and I decided we were going to take a trip out west and see things out west we'd never seen before. And Crater Lake was on the one of the things that everybody says you got to see. You got to see Crater Lake. And I've done that before where you have to see something like the world's largest spool of yarn. You got to see it. And you go and you go, well, no, you don't have to see that. But we were driving to Crater Lake, and one of the things that I had decided to do is it was only a couple hours away from where we were, so it wasn't going to be a problem. So we went, got in the car, we got the GPS, got to where we were going, and the road was closed because it was so much snow. Then we drove another 4 hours to get to another opening that was open. We checked it out. It was open. Drove over there, and I remember thinking to myself, this better be worth it. It better be worth it. And we pull into the park where Crater Lake is, and there's snow that's over my head, and you got a little path that's been cut out that you got the snow. And I remember saying, I sure hope this was not a wasted trip. And we turned the corner where we could see the lake, and all three of us went, whoa. The other time that happened was when I was at the Grand Canyon, and we decided to take a bus ride, because every time we go anywhere, I drive, and everybody says, oh, look! And the Grand Canyon is not a place you want to veer off the road. So we took a van, and we went around, and I remember, you know, riding in the back. It was kind of cramped because the van driver wanted to get as many people in there as he could. And we came around the corner, and the very first time I saw the Grand Canyon, it took my breath away. And I think about the mountains that I've climbed with my kids, and I've stood at the peak of these mountains, and I've looked around at the vastness of earth, and I've thought to myself, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. Something about nature that does that. Bonnie, I think you had your hand up about your favorite psalm. Did I hit it already?
No. And I still remember.
Okay.
I like a lot of the psalms, and I think we do a disservice if we don't study them often. Not every quarter, but there's so much in there. And yeah.
You
it's
can't
so
cover
rich.
Them all.
No, you can't. And they mean more when you're at different ages, too. I mean, it's one of those things that grows with you. The 27th Psalm is one that has some thoughts there that I think strike home and as a Christian should give us confidence if we can read this and say it to ourselves. First verse, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when you're in perilous times, that's a mighty powerful thought. Down in verse 4, it says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Another wonderful thought that we need to keep in mind.
Very good. Very good.
One more.
Oh, one more. Okay.
I got two hands. I can't turn the page.
Oh, okay. You got...
At the very end of it, verse 14.
Okay.
He says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Thank you.
Okay. Well, good. Good. I have a friend that's going through some difficult stuff in Idaho. He's one of the pastors up there, and he's going through some difficult stuff. And he and I have been texting, and I told him, I said, the thing that people like you and me try to do, either number one, we try to throw up our hands and give up. Say, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm going to give up. Or the other thing that you and I do is we bully our way through. We push hard. And I said, but if you want to show faith, you're going to wait and let God take care of this. And he texts me back today, said, Neil, I am so thankful for your advice because I was going to say and do something that I would have regretted had I not done that. And believe it or not, God took care of the problem. And I didn't have to do anything. Didn't have to quit. And I didn't have to force my way through. But go back to the very first part of that verse that he's got in there. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I want you to think about that for just a minute. The Lord is my light and my salvation. What is it that you fear the most? How many of you in here hate snakes like I do? Only good snake is a dead snake, right? Did y'all hear about that poor man that was killed by an alligator? Mm-hmm. I've got friends that are deathly afraid of alligators. I'm not. I'm not going to get in the water with one. I'm going to just tell you that right now, unless he's a little one and I can see him. But I'm not. They don't bother me because I know where they are and I know what to look for with them. But snakes, those are slithery, creepy, surprising animals. And God chose a snake for Satan to live in, and I think he hasn't changed it since. Okay? That's just my way of thinking. But I don't fear snakes, because what is a snake going to do to me, right? He's going to bite me. If it's a big snake, he watched the Tarzan movies, right? Falls on you, he wraps his, coils around you and chokes you to death. Okay, right? That's the things that nightmares are made of. Anybody has a dream about a snake tonight and it wakes them up, think of me, because I'm putting it all in your head right now. But the reality of it is nothing that's going to happen to you on this earth is really worth fearing. I don't want to get run over by a truck, but if I do, so what? I don't want to get cancer and have to go through some of the treatments that my friend Randy's going through. But if I do, we as a group of believers live in fear more than we live in faith. We're fearful of losing our jobs. We're fearful of losing our money. We're fearful of all these things. And this passage right here was David's reminder to himself and to us that we have nothing to fear. Amen? Amen? All right. Who had another one? Who had their Psalms? There was a dozen hands up a minute ago. Okay. We're getting a lot of comments from the peanut gallery back here.
They got their own mic now.
They got their own mic. They act like they're somebody.
Right. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
All right. Tell me how that means something to you. Very good. Very good. I was doing some marriage counseling this past week, and I had met with them previously and was meeting with them again, and he was telling me why he did something. And I said, and it was basically he did something because of what the people he worked with had to say to him about what was going on. So I looked at him and I said, now, I want to get this right. You came in and you talked to me and I told you what you needed to do and I showed you through the scriptures why this is what you need to do, and you went and did something that somebody you work with said to do. And I've seen it multiple times where people who are going through a divorce and they come in, they sit down and talk to me, and then they'll tell me what their friends are saying, and I'll look at them and I say, well, are your friends Christian? Well, no, but they've been through this kind of stuff. I said, well, you need to understand how God wants you to do it, not how the world wants you to do it. Who else has a favorite scripture? Shaq has got one.
Hey, Shaq.
34 Psalms, verses 12 through 14. This is what I had to say as a youngster, because my mom caught me cussing out my neighbors across the street. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from the evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That, in addition to a board on the bottom, I didn't cuss out anybody anymore.
Oh, me. I had something similar happen, not to me, but with my boys. There was a neighbor that they were hanging out with that was a little bit older than them, and you know how it is, younger boys always look up to older boys. And so they went over to his house and they were hanging out in the garage, and they didn't realize it, but I walked over there to see what was going on. I was just curious to see what they were doing, because most of the time when you put three or four boys together in a garage, something's going to happen. So I walked over there, and as I'm walking over there, I'm hearing some of the most foul language you've ever heard coming out of, not my sons, but other guys. Because my sons would never talk like that. And I walked, they were cussing and carrying on and talking filthy and all this kind of stuff. And I just walked, listened, and then just stepped right into the front of the garage. And you could have seen four boys turn white as a ghost all of a sudden. The preacher had arrived, but worse yet, Dad had arrived.
Dad the preacher.
And the oldest of all of them looked at me, and I said to him, his name was Jeff, I said, Jeff, let me tell you something, buddy. Talking like that does not make you a man. I said, a five-year-old can talk like that. Anybody can talk like that. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is you're going to talk like that and it's going to become a habit for you, and you're going to talk like that in front of somebody that you don't want to. And then it's going to be a problem. And then you're going to wish you'd never started talking like that. Amen. And he looked at me and he said, yes, sir. And I said, Matt and Tyler, I don't want to hear you talking like that ever again. Yes, sir. And I walked away. There was no board. There was no punishment or anything other than my sincere disappointment in them. And 2 weeks later, I'm working on the side of the house replacing some boards. And I'm putting some screws in. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but you can, if you're not careful, you can miss the screw or it can turn to the side, and that drill will hit your thumbnail just perfectly. And I did that, and it hit, and I mean, it made me see stars. It hurt so bad. And I held my tongue, and my two sons were there watching. And 10 minutes later, I did it again. And a word came out of my mouth that I don't use normally. And I said it. And Matthew looked at me and said, "Dad, so you really did cuss when you were little." We need to let people know. We need to know that whoever loves life and desires to spend many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Very good. Who else? Yes.
I'm coming, Steph.
Hold on just a second. We got to get the mic to you.
Yep. Or else the online people can't hear you.
All right. Mine's Psalms 3.
Psalms 3?
Yes.
What do you like about Psalms 3?
I just love how whenever I feel that I'm, just like kind of fears. I have a lot of fears too sometimes, just fears of doubts, fears of, and they really, really strike me down. And whenever I read the Psalms, it gives me just some hope and some, that no matter how many enemies that come in any form, mm-hmm. are around, they're no match for the Lord, and he resides in me, and I think gives me an overcoming sensation.
Very good. I like this. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver him. And how often are we hearing this kind of messaging coming across the world today? God's not real. Oh, you guys have been brainwashed. I'm dealing with a teenager right now that I'm working with, and he pretty much believes that people who grew up in the church have been brainwashed into thinking a certain way. There's no validity to what we believe. That's where he is right now. Of course, why wouldn't he believe that? That's what he's getting from the world right now. You know, my sister-in-law was told by her principal that she had to refer to kids in her classroom as they or them because they didn't want to use pronouns he, she. This is not this past week, this has been a couple years ago. She's retired now. The world is against us. And I am so thankful that I don't have kids in public schools right now, because it is messed up what I'm hearing and what I'm learning. Many are saying, God will deliver me, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountains. I lie down and sleep and wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. Beautiful. Thank you for that thought. We needed that one. Anybody else? Yes.
Psalms 37. Be afraid.
Psalms 37.
Yeah, the first few verses, like one says, don't worry about the wicked. Okay. Three says, trust in the Lord and do good. Four, take delight in the Lord. Five, commit everything you do to the Lord. Seven, be still in the presence of the Lord. And those little snippets are just kind of instructional, but I think it's just to the point. And
verse 1 says, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be anxious because of those who do wrong. I love that. How many of y'all fret in here? Raise your hand if you're a fretter. All right. This verse right here is for you. Do not fret because those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. trust in the Lord and do good. Next time you fret, trust in the Lord and do something good. You got that? That'll take your fretting away. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and then the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. When I read these, you got to understand who wrote them, right? You got to understand David wrote that out of his own experience. That David didn't write that because it sounded good. I want to create poetry. He wrote that out of his own experience with God. Anybody else got one? Yes?
We have online Larry Lewis that's listening.
All right, Larry, good to hear from you, brother. Psalms 101, 1 through 4. All right. It says, I will sing of your love and justice to you. Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of the heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with that which is evil. Y'all have any idea when this was written? You think it was before David or Bathsheba? Do you think it was before that, maybe? Joel, does Larry have something, anything, does he comment on why he thinks that's his favorite verse?
Larry Lewis said, devotion, a heart like thine, hate and evil.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Anybody else? Yes, Carol. Hold on just a minute. Let him get the mic to you.
Forty-six ten. Be still and know that I am God.
Okay. 46:10. Why is that your favorite passage?
When I'm having a bad lupus day and I'm in a lot of pain, I've got to quiet myself down. Brings me comfort.
Mm-hmm. Does when you quiet yourself, as I say, center myself? When you do that and you focus on God, does it take the pain away completely, or does it ease the pain?
Does not take it away. Nothing does. There's no medication that does.
Right.
But it makes it, I'll say, bearable.
Okay.
Tolerable.
Okay. All right. Good. So you're using scriptures and meditation in a very difficult time in your life.
Amen.
Good for you, Carol. Anybody else? Nobody else has a favorite psalm. How many of y'all read the psalms? Oh, Shaq, you have one?
No, I just gave you mine.
Oh, you gave me mine. Who? Chris, do you have one?
Lee's got one.
Oh.
So I'm reading through the Bible, and it's not... It basically, we talk about, like, it starts at the beginning and then you read a psalm after a few chapters. And one of the things that I came across the other day was Psalm 61. Like I said, it's not my favorite, but it was pretty neat when talking about, like, I guess I'm to the point where they're in Deuteronomy and Moses is kind of rehashing a lot of the different things that have happened. And you know, a lot of that stuff is hard to hear, and a lot of it's, you see a lot of yourself also in the children of Israel and how many times they screw up. And one of the things I thought was pretty cool was just in that first three verses here, says, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my enemy." And I guess just when I was listening to that, I listened to it on the way to work, but I thought that, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I like that. I thought you guys would like that too. I thought of a couple of the guys in church about that, because it's always fun to get to a rock that's a lot higher than you are and, you know, just enjoy nature like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's good. Very good. Very good.
You know, I don't know that I can give you right off the top of my head my favorite, but one of my favorites is the 100th Psalm, because I think it was the first one I was asked to memorize when I was a child, and it's a pretty short one, so, you know, it was not necessarily easy at the time, but anything you memorize and think about over and over throughout your life becomes one of your favorites.
Right. Amen. If y'all have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 100 real quick, because it is a short one, but it's powerful. And if I were teaching you as a young student and could get you to memorize something, this was a great one right here. First of all, one of the things that we do when we come into worship, let me just talk about that for just a minute. In the Old Testament, they spent a day preparing for worship. They spent all day Friday getting everything ready, because they had all these things they had to have ready, all these things they couldn't do on the Sabbath. So they spent an entire day getting ready for worship. We, on the other hand, spend all day Saturday doing whatever it is we do, whether it's working in your yard, playing sports, going to see something, hanging out with people at dinner, staying up late. My favorite thing used to be to watch Saturday Night Live. I don't watch it anymore, but back in the day. And then we stay up late, and we get up on Sunday morning, and we get up in a mad rush, making a mad dash, trying to get here on time. My dad, when we were growing up, you had to be at church 20 minutes before things started. 20 minutes. We spent 15 of those minutes by ourselves, because we were the only ones that had to do that. But luckily, I had two brothers and a sister, so I always had somebody to pick on, or somebody to pick on me. But my dad spent that 20 minutes in his office getting ready. Now I come, and I purposely have a routine, and that is I go have breakfast by myself. Sometimes, well, Shaq knows I'm there, so one time Shaq showed up and just ruined everything. Not really. We had a good cup of coffee together and had a chance to talk. But I purposely, I'm by myself. I speak to the people that wait on me. I have some breakfast, and then I come in and I start. It used to be I was by myself. Now Joel's here, and Neil and Carrie come in, and used to be Glenn always came in and wanted to talk, and so it's not like it was, but it's still good. But I have a chance to get ready to worship. But I remember the days before that where it was, you're trying to get everybody in the car, you're trying to get everybody ready, you're trying to get here, and inevitably somebody can't be ready on time. Amen? Amen. Don't point to that person, okay? That's not nice right now. Somebody can't get ready on time, and so by the time you get in the car and you start making your way over here, you're already stressed, right? You're already behind the gun. You're not here early. You're thinking you're going to be late, or at best, you're going to be right on time. Or in some people's cases, I got to grab that cup of coffee before I go to class, so I got to make sure I get there so I can get my coffee and I can get to class in time. And God forbid if they run out of coffee on that day because I didn't get up in time to make my own. The reason why I'm telling you all this is because this passage right here is about David's worship. And instead of shouting out at your family, trying to get them ready to go, you need to come in on Sunday morning shouting to the Lord. You need to come in on Sunday morning already worshiping. Most people come in, they're in that mad dash, that big rush. They come in a few minutes late. First song has already happened. Maybe they're lucky to catch the announcement. And by the time we're into the third song, Jason singing the third song, people are just starting to worship because they've had to let go of everything that's happened before that. And then I get into the sermon, and then what do we do then? Then we start thinking, oh, no, what are we going to do about lunch? We haven't even prepared what we're going to do about lunch. And then I sure hope he doesn't preach too long today because I got to beat the Baptist to my restaurant. Look at what David says here. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, in his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations.
I got a favorite psalm now.
You got a favorite psalm now? So Jason and I, we talk about the worship service quite a bit. And the other day, Jason and I were texting back and forth talking about cutting out one of his songs because we had video, we had presentation, we had all this kind of stuff. And Jason was just like, no, we don't need to do that. And one other time, Jason and I had a conversation about maybe not doing all 15 verses of just I am, just as I am. It's something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but we were having a conversation about that. And Jason said to me, Neil, what do you mean we got to stop on time? We should want to worship all day. I'm like, yeah, well, we should, but you don't understand. People can't stand it if we don't quit on time.
But those are the same people that love it when the baseball game goes into extra innings and the football game goes into overtime.
I don't know those people. So you have to testify for them. It's only with the Cowboys. So, now that I know I am teaching this quarter and I'm teaching on Psalm, I will give you an introduction to Psalms next week. We will be studying the book of Psalms. Thank you for your participation, your help tonight. I hope it wasn't too boring for you. And I look forward to sharing some things with you about Psalms that you've never heard before. I love you. Let's go to God in prayer as we're dismissed. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your book, the Psalms, for the opportunity, Father, for us to look deeply into your word, to see the Psalms for what they are, and for us to have them pierce our hearts and go deep into our souls so that when we fret, when we fear, we can take comfort in the words that you have put on our hearts and that we can live in this life with no fear and no frets. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.